One and a community connection this morning brought to you as usual by First Baptist Church. Opportunity for me to spend a little bit of time talking city business after a Monday night Bartlesville City Council meeting and Councilman Dale Copeland. And I would say Ward 5 City Councilman, but that number will change as the maps have been officially approved.
That will change come August the 8th is when that officially will make the change. That gives the election board in the state time to make their changes, get everything in their system. It's fairly complex, which I learned. It seems like it'd be very easy just to go draw some lines and be done with it, but it doesn't work out that way. So got all that changed last night. That will take effect August 8th, just in time for filing for the new terms of city council, which will happen the November elections and take their seats in December.
Well, and I think really that's appropriate that it takes effect on the first day of the filing period so that whatever you want to call it, the lame duck of that particular term for whoever, and I'll use Ted Lockin as an example just because Ted has publicly said he does not plan to run for re-election, Ward 1 city councilman will, I believe, I don't remember the numbers, Ted would actually find his home now in Ward 4 if he chose to rerun. So.
Right. It moves it around. I will end up, if that were to go forward, from Ward 5, where I have always lived, or at least for the last 23 years since the last change, and would be now in Ward 1. You don't really move. We just move the boxes around to better balance. You end up with a situation. Bartlesville is a good example. When the old Bartlesville, the downtown core, for instance, is pretty dense already, doesn't have room for a lot of expansion, although there's good things happening downtown. We see some different particular apartment and townhome type construction going on. That's great. But you have this construction happening mainly to the east and to the south where there's available properties. And so those wards have grown disproportionately. And after the census, it became apparent that things were a little out of balance, and to try to have about the same number of people in each ward, we redid that. It went through. This was not a simple thing, as I said. This was, I believe, the eighth or ninth iteration. You look at something and then you think about it and you change it a little more and you tweak it a little more. But I think we got a good result. The lines run primarily along major arterials or the river or the city limits, so it's very easy for people to look at the map and realize where they live. I will then live in Ward 1.
And looking at it, I think the common sense of the natural boundaries, you could have, and I'm oversimplifying it, just basically drawn five pieces of a pie and then equalized out population and said that's what it is. Looks as though, as I look at it from a non-participant, that you tried to, whenever possible, keep the existing boundaries and then say, okay, where's the next natural boundary that would make the appropriate number of residents,
right,
equal.
Yeah. Well, that's exactly right. There was someone who said, why don't we just draw five horizontal or five vertical lines?
Yeah.
And that would be simple. But there's also these issues with state law that we want to stay within existing precincts. You'd prefer not to have people in one precinct perhaps living in three different wards. It makes for a very complicated election. You can imagine if you've ever gone in, they say, well, what's your address? Oh, here, this is your, no, that's your, no, this, we don't know which ballot you get.
I think the mayor in a previous council meeting had basically used not quite those words, but, you know, when trying to decide sometimes on a constituent, well, really, am I your ward, your
right,
city councilman, or is somebody else?
Right. If we went just with precinct boundaries, those have developed over many years, and that can be a little bit confusing. They might go down 11th Street and jog over to Keeler and then go down, because they were drawn at the time, probably was perfectly reasonable, but many years later, it is not always clear. So I think we got a good result. I think that it's easy for people to follow and to focus on. I think it'll serve us well until the next time. There's always a next time.
Well, that's one of the sure things of government, at least as long as our population is not static, which is a good thing, that we want to be growing, that sooner or later those lines will have to be redrawn by some future council.
Well, and we did try to anticipate that to some degree. Ward 5, or what will be the east side primarily, and Ward 2, which is the southeast, seem to be the areas where most of the potential development would happen. So when you look at the number printouts, those were a little bit lower than our ideal of 7,150 voters in each ward, but they also have the greatest potential for growth. So that keeps things in a good balance over a period of time, and that was also factored into the efforts that went forth. A lot of people put a lot of work into this.
And, of course, those have been published for some time. We've had them on our website, and I will update the story and get those maps published again. But, again, they've been in the newspaper, and they will be made available so that between now and the filing period time, whoever chooses to run for elected office within the municipality has the opportunity to say what ward they live in.
And those are always posted on the city's website at cityofbartlesville.org.
Yeah. As long as we're talking about wards and ward boundaries, I want to move ahead to a related topic. In filling the vacancy for the current Ward 4 seat, typically, historically, the council has had one or two applicants. You got six this time.
That's a good problem to have, Charlie. We did have six good applicants. We put that out. They came in a little bit later instead of earlier, so we've been a little bit slower perhaps than we might have liked, but we wanted to do this properly. It's an important thing that one of the five people on the council, we want to get the very best, and we had really six good applications. Last night, five of the six came to the council meeting, were invited to speak if they chose to do so. Three of them did. And it's really a nice problem, if you will, to have six people to choose from. As we mentioned earlier, I would like for the voters to make that choice, and they will come or later this year. But in the meantime, the council will fill that seat for Ward 4, and we'll be back to full strength at five people. We will do that at the March 7th meeting.
Yeah, and that will obviously to fill the unexpired term.
Right.
And then I mentioned this, and I will try to say the same words that I said to the city manager yesterday. It wouldn't it be nice if the other non-successful applicants, whoever they may be, chose to run for office in November?
That's exactly right. I think that it's a little appreciated fact that people get involved in whatever it is. Could be city, could be church, could be civic organizations, and find that not only can you hopefully make a difference, but also you get to work with some tremendous people. And it is almost addicting, I guess, to get into that and to find out that you have fun, you get to make a difference, you get to work with great folks, and it makes you want to do it some more. So hopefully the experience that these folks have had would, as you say, cause them to want to come and continue to serve and to work with the city.
I've read the applications obtained through an open records request, and I'll tell you, there is you didn't have to look far to differentiate the backgrounds of the individuals and who they are. Again, I want to compliment all of the applicants for stepping forward.
Great diversity from every walk of life, a lot of life experience. As someone aptly noted last night, there's just not an online course you can take to be a city councilman or councilwoman. A lot of it comes through on the job. It's just takes a while to get up to speed, to learn all of the letters. One of the things we did last night about CDBG, you get to where you say that, and then you realize that perhaps not everybody knows what CDBG is.
And the rules for people who write news stories about that is always the first time you refer to it, use the words, not the abbreviation.
That's
so
right.
So Community Development Block Grant, and sometimes there is a phrase after that, Small City Set Aside. But either way,
anything with government has to have lots of words and letters.
Yeah. And you do tend to live in the alphabet soup.
It does, and you learn it. It takes time, but eventually you understand what all of those things are and begin to understand how they interact and how they work together, because they're all very important for someone. CDBG has been something that for three specific tracks, which are mainly downtown and West Bartlesville, we have received substantial sums of money in the millions of dollars over the last decade that have allowed us to do things that just might not have happened any other way. Last night we talked about the approved and now ready to go to construction pavilion, 6,000-foot pavilion that will be built just east of the YMCA, north of Hensley there at the southeast corner of Johnstone Park, an area that will be a tremendous gathering place. Obviously, the Pathfinder connects to it. It's at Johnstone Park. It's on Hensley. It's just at the edge of downtown next to the Y, the Dungis Memorial Stadium. So I think it's going to be a tremendous asset added to downtown, a place for people to go, maybe have their lunch if they're on the Pathfinder, to have events, whether it's a family reunion or whatever.
I think the city manager mentioned possibly encouraging the farmers market to relocate there as part of their Saturday events if they chose to.
Be a great thing. People could go to the farmers market and go have a picnic. Yep. With the stuff they just bought.
There you go. Sounds like a good deal. Buy some bread, take your own jelly, or find somebody to bread that...
could be jelly at the farmer's market.
You never know. Whatever it is. So that is moving ahead. And again, I don't remember the schedule, but it's to be completed fairly soon.
Contracts will be done up in the next few weeks. At that point, they will order the structure. They'll begin to do site preparation. But Mike Seamers, city engineer, said that he really anticipates that all things being equal and no unforeseen events, that will be ready for summer.
Okay. We will take a break and continuing our time with Dale Copeland as we talk city business in just a moment.
Bartlesville First Baptist Church is focused on the life-changing gospel of Jesus Christ. As we learn the God's Word, love God's people, and live God's mission, this vision will continue to thrive until He comes. We are committed to vibrant worship, relevant Bible teaching, genuine community, and the urgent spreading of this gospel. We are resolved. We will not be silent. Come worship with us at First Baptist Church, 405 South Cherokee in Bartlesville. Services are 8:30 a.m. and 11 a.m. each Sunday.
K1 Community Connection continues, and one of the things that council took action on last night, well, this one just to me makes a lot of sense, but I think we need to spend a little time on it. Expanded use of some lease revenue for City Hall. We're talking about a 103-year-old building, and as the schools have learned with Central School, if you don't update them, if you don't do new things to keep it up to date every once in a while, you run into all kinds of eventual problems.
Well, it's true. You know, we talk about ourselves, and the old story, if I'd known I was going to live this long, I'd taken better care of myself, and I'm not 103. But buildings are like that.
But apparently still mostly original parts, so, you know.
But they do require maintenance and upkeep. Any structure does as they get older. Things do wear out. They mentioned last night the boiler. Mm-hmm. That's not important until you need it, but it is an important thing to have. And many improvements in terms of efficiency. New boilers are much more efficient. We've done windows, we've done lighting. So in the past, that had been kind of very limited. And last night we took action to open that up because there's things, elevators, which are very handy but are quite expensive to maintain. And the city, one of the elevators continues to need work. And this will just provide another revenue stream and take some of the pressure off the operating budget. So it's a good building. It serves us well, but nevertheless, it needs care and maintenance.
And sometimes we forget, we see City Hall, and okay, we know there's a museum up on the top floor, but sometimes we don't always realize what else is in that building somewhere between ground level and the top floor.
Well, that City Hall is packed. Of course, the first floor is utilities and meeting rooms, finance, second floor, city manager office, the HR, planning is there, parks department. Golly, I get them mixed up. I think 3 is engineering, and 5 is the History Museum. The History Museum is, I in a way, wish it wasn't on 5 because it is something that people don't always know about, and that's a shame. The History Museum is something that if you get a chance, go to City Hall. It's the price is right. It's free, and the elevator does work, and so you can get up there. And there's just a lot of neat stuff to see. If you've never had a chance, take an hour, take 2 hours, take half a day. Go look at what they worked so hard to put out that if the building's 103 years old, I guess Bartlesville must be at least that old. So there's a lot in the History Museum.
There is. The city celebrated its centennial back in about 97. When It really would almost work to put the History Museum on the first floor and move those utility windows and things that people walk in the door and only venture 50 feet into the building, put them on the top floor.
I don't know if the people that pay their utility bills would agree, Charlie, but...
Well, it's one of those merchandising things. If you run a store, you find what do most people go to that particular store for? Put it at the back of... Just because I grew up in a drugstore, you put the prescription department at the back of the store so that people have to walk by everything
all
else,
the other things.
All those impulse buys to get to what they originally came for.
Yeah, I think we all would like to have what we want up front. It just would be convenient. Probably we can just drive through. That'd be even better.
Yeah.
But it is a challenge, and there's that tension that exists of what goes where and how does it best suit. But it would be great to not have the History Museum on the fifth floor, but that's where it is. And so do encourage people to take advantage of that. It's perhaps a little-known gem for a lot of folks in town.
Yep. Boy, I tell you, the recent warm weather, the city manager had the fire chief in yesterday for his program, and I don't think he actually used the phrase from Smokey Bear, but it's appropriate.
Well, that's something, yeah, I just was thinking this morning, the old deal way, way back, you know, only you can prevent forest fires. Perhaps we don't have a forest, but grass fires have been a major problem. My business is located directly across the street from the Emergency Operations Center, never those letter things, the EOC. Mm-hmm. And lately the grass fire trucks have been rolling out on a daily basis. Houses, hay barns, people are put at risk, and it's just something that everybody needs to pay attention. It's just so easy to start, and with the winds we've had, very difficult to control.
Absolutely, and that's something that we have perennially, but many winters we're dealing with colder weather than we are right now. So
it's been unusual weather. What did Saturday, 84, somebody told me?
Yeah, I think officially 84. I think when I got in my car, the thermometer said more like 87, but I'm not going to quibble the 3 degrees with you.
It's unusual.
Yeah.
Anyway you go, it's like being in South Florida. I don't know if it's 84 in South Florida.
It may not be. We may have better weather than the folks in South Florida.
They can come spend the week with us.
I'm going to say, let's invite them up here.
Yeah.
They're just looking at a couple of other things real quick. Of course, one news story that actually we broke yesterday, the death of a community icon, as one person referred to her. And I know the city manager had some remarks last night.
He did. An icon, I think, is an excellent word. Sherry Cox was just a fixture, might be another word. I like icon better. But in Bartlesville, you went to the community service groups that I work with and others, and Sherry was there. And you went to events, and Sherry and Bill were there. Sherry and Bill supported. And she is going to be sorely missed. And Ed Gordon last night, I think, summed up the feelings of the city council and all of Bartlesville, that she will be missed. And we do express our thoughts and our condolences and our prayers to Bill and that family. That's just not somebody you replace.
Yeah.
You just we'll just have to find a way to get by. But we do thank her for all that she did, and think about the family in this time.
Absolutely. So again, looking at the family, and at least so far, when we started, I had not yet received the specifics, but funeral will be announced by Walker Brown.
Right.
Final topic, unless we really move through this one pretty quick. Congratulations to the swim teams.
Yeah, I was looking at the paper and the station's website. I look at that regularly. The Bruins, you know, we think about Bartlesville. I've lived here all my life. I'm a little bit biased, but that's okay.
You at least admit it.
But we have a tremendous athletic program, whether it be football or basketball. Right now we're talking about the swimming team, and that goes on for many years. Like I said, I've lived here a long time, and we had an excellent swim team even back then. For them to, the girls won state, the boys were runner-ups, I understand, several state records. You look at the performance, and then you think about the academic performance that we also have from Bartlesville, where we consistently rate in the top few in the state. I think there's a lot in Bartlesville to be proud of. Perhaps we take it for granted, and we shouldn't. Extend our appreciation and thoughts about the program, the coaches that put in the hours, the people that provide the facilities, and the kids. The kids I grew up with, a friend of mine, Sam Gill, was on the swim team way back and was up very, very early. Had a paper out, I remember, and the swim team.
Mm-hmm.
He'd been up and put in a half day's work before the rest of us got to school. And I know these kids do the same thing. We just applaud them on their efforts and their success.
Absolutely. So, which of course goes along with the mission of any school district is to get the students graduated and well prepared for life. But when you look at all the other things that they're doing, adding to that educational mission, it says a lot. Speaking of getting the mission done, just real quickly, I know there are some openings on boards and commissions in addition to that Ward 4 City Council.
We've talked a lot about service, Sherry Cox, and the service that she provided this community. The people who have stepped forward to offer their services to serve on the Ward 4 City Council seat. We do usually have a few openings on what we call authorities, boards, commissions, and committees. And right now, always put out this idea that we would love to have people apply. We have one opening on the Ambulance Commission, the Bartlesville Redevelopment Trust Authority, and the Tree Committee, and two openings on Sanitary Sewer Improvement Oversight Committee. Some of those meet a few times a year, some meet once a month. It's not an onerous burden, but many hands make light work, and we would love to have more people join in and take part in leading this city.
Okay, well, we will await the announcement, the appointment of someone to that Ward 4 vacancy. That'll be on the March 7th, I believe, is the numerical date, first Monday of the month, whatever it is.
First council meeting will be March the 7th.
Okay. Dale, thank you very much for your time.
Thank you.
And that's our Community Connection on AM 1400 K1. Spending a little bit of time this morning with City Councilman, current Ward 5 City Councilman Dale Copeland. If he chooses to run for re-election, and if he's successful, it would be the Ward 1 under the new map. News on the way next.